Today's Shi'ur is Masech Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Ches Amud Be'ez at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hech Begduni, if somebody asks somebody to watch an object on his behalf, and now he comes to him and asks him, Hech Begduni, where is that object that I asked you to watch? And Amalai, and he says to him, Avar, I've lost it. And he says to him, Mashbiachani, I make you swear to that effect. Vamar amen. And he indeed does swear to that effect. Amen. Now the Edom come and they say, we know for a fact that he himself ate it. Mishalom, the halach is that this person, the shomer who swore falsely, has to pay the keren. Not only is that the halacha, but if he admitted this on his own, that he swore falsely, so besides paying Mishal Makarim, besides paying the principal, he also has to pay a chaymish, he has to add the 20%, and he also has to bring a carbon osham. This admission points out the Pnei Yeshua. It doesn't make a difference if it took place in Bezdin or out of Bezdin, as long as he admitted this is the halacha. Moreover, this admission doesn't make a difference when it was admitted. Only there's a difference when the claim is a geneva. Because as we've learned, and this is an important review, when we speak about geneva, there the halacha differentiates between kefil. Sometimes the obligation is to pay kefil, and sometimes the obligation is to pay the keren v'chaymish v'osham. But here we're not speaking that he made a claim of geneva. Here we're speaking about a situation where he said that it was lost, and then he admitted that he swore falsely. And the Torah and the Beis Yosef is teaching us that this halacha that he has to do so is specifically in this halacha because he has to rectify his false shvuah. And therefore, as we just pointed out, if the claim was, Heichem Begduni, again, he begins with the same issue. Where is the object that I asked you to watch? And Amalai, and he says, Nignava was stolen. And he responds, Mashbiach, and I make you swear, Vama Amen, and he admits, but then Edom come and say that that's not possibly what could have happened. We have Edom that you stole it. The halacha is the Mesham Teshlumei Kefil because he did not admit by himself. Here, because the issues that are being discussed, the claim and the counterclaim, is a claim and a counterclaim regarding geneva, that's when the halacha changes. And therefore, if it was because the Edom are able to testify that he stole it, that's when he's going to pay kefil. However, if he admitted on his own prior to the Edom coming, then that halacha will be Misham Kerem Chemish V'Oshem. Says the Mishnah further, Hagozel's Aviv, if somebody, Rachman Slan, stole something from his father, the Nishbalai, and the son swore to the father that he had not stolen it, and then Umeis, the father, died, and after the father's passing, he admits that he swore falsely, and therefore he's now chayv keren v'chaim shv'asham, so he has to pay that keren v'asham. Harez mishalom keren v'chaim shv'asham lebonav, he has to pay that payment to the sons of his father, who are the yarshim of his father, and actually it means his brothers, oyla echav, or to the brothers of his father's, his uncles. If his father didn't have any other sons, then he, as we're going to learn now, has to pay what he stole back. So he has to pay it back to the yarshim of his father. So the first line yarshim of his father are his father's sons. If they aren't able, there are no sons, so then we look at the next line of yarshim, which is the brothers of his fathers. That's the way most Rishonim learn. Others, however, learn, Labanov means his own sons. His own sons get his share of the Yerusha. And that's what the definition of Banov means. Barnav, according to that explanation, is his own children, because his own children, as extension of he, are Yarshim of his father. And then Achiv means his brothers, who are the other Yarshim, together with him, of their father. And the lesson of this Mishnah is that even though he is deserving of a share of this returned object, he is now a Yorish of the father. Mishnah is teaching us that there's a chiyuv of a heshiv as a gzeila shegozal, that if somebody, Rachman Slon, stole something, it is his obligation to return that object, and only then will he have the kavana. Only then will he be able to fulfill the completion of A, of a heshiv as a gzeila, and then bringing the carbon asham. So Rashi says that this story of mace is that the admission took place only after his father passed away. Because had the admission taken place while the father was alive, so then his father, the halacha would consider it. This is where Tosfos really explains what Rashi holds. The halacha would consider it as if the father already received it. And now, when the father passes, this son, of course, if there are other sons as well, but we're focused on this son, the Gazlan, then the halacha would be, he would be entitled to get a share and wouldn't have to pay back. Not everybody agrees with that interpretation. But again, as we said, the obligation here is that he should fulfill the mitzvah of a heshiv as a gzela, and that obligation of a heshiv as a gzela is only fulfilled by him actively giving back to his father what he had stolen. Other Rishonim, the Rashba, actually says that the obligation of a heshiv as a gzela is fulfilled on the part that's not his, the part that he didn't inherit. The part that he did inherit, there is a heshiv as a gzela. There is no need for a heshiv as a gzela. And the Rashba in the Tshuva suggests that the entire reason the Mishnah says that he has to return the entire gzela, and as we just explained, there are different ways of fulfilling it and not him holding on to any of it, is only to do the mitzvah L'idei Shemayim, that everybody should recognize that he did what he was supposed to do and doing the Heshev as a gzeila. Moreover, as the Rishonim point out, and as we've been pointing out, until the Heshev as a gzeila is properly performed, he can't bring a Karban Asham. So in order for him to be able to bring the Karban Asham, he has to properly fulfill the obligation of a Heshev as a gzeila asher gozel. The Bar Tanura, when he, in explaining this Mishnah, says that this halacha that we're learning, that was so anxious, as we've been explaining the Mishnah, that he should properly fulfill the mitzvah of Heshev as a gzeila asher gozel, is only in the case where the stolen goods are actually still in the possession of the son, the gazlan. However, says the Bar Tanura, if the stolen goods were already sold or eaten and are no longer in the thief's actual position at the point that he was moida, then the mitzvah of Heshev Gzela Asher Gozal would not apply, and therefore the certainly the part that he is a Yorish on, he just would keep that amount, and if he was the only Yorish, he would keep the entire value. He explains that even though, of course, the mitzvah of a heshiv as a gzela applies, even if the actual object that was stolen is no longer here, then you have to pay back the value. In this case, where he's only doing it because he wants to be able to bring the carbon, etc., there the Torah goes out of, that's why we have to have the rules that the Mishnah explains. But that's only when the actual gzela is still here. The Torah disagrees with Bar Tanura, and the Torah says we don't find such a differentiation in our Mishnah. And since we don't find such a differentiation in our Mishnah, the Mishnah's din would apply whether the actual stolen object is still here or not. So as we said, we have also Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. If this is an absolute chiv deraisa, could this is the way to fulfill the mitzvah heishiv is exel shagozol, or is this only midrabbanon to be able to he should do a proper tshuva? From Rashi, it seems it's the absolute chiv. The Rashba seems, based on we're going to learn right now the Mishnah, a way to avoid this problem. Based on what we're going to learn, the Gemara, you could fulfill it by giving it to tzedakah. If it was an absolute requirement, then the halacha would not allow it fulfilled to be fulfilled in any way but the simple way. Says the Mishnah, but if he doesn't want to give away the entire stolen object, because as we keep on repeating, he certainly has a share in that stolen object, because he is a Yerush of the father who was the victim of the Gzela, who's no longer here. Or She'eloi, he doesn't have enough assets with which to pay off this obligation. So what he could do is, Loiva, he could borrow money from people, and Ubalchoi, Boyim Nefraim Achim. So let's say he borrowed, let's say this object that he stole was worth $200. And it's two brothers, he and his brother. So now that his father passes away, he really owns $100 of this object, and his brother owns $100. But he has to fulfill the obligation of Heshev as a Gzela. So what he'll do is he'll give back the entire object to his brother. But now his creditors, whom he owes $100 to, will take that $100 from his brother. So he'll be able to, at least, maybe not in the most direct manner, but at least in an indirect manner, keep that $100 that he now owns in this object as a yorish of his father. Says the Mishnah, if somebody says to his son, he makes another, you may not have any hanor for me. And now, that means, they're not allowed to have anything, he's not allowed to have any benefit from anything his father owns. And now, mace, the father passes away. Says the Mishnah, Yushana ben, the son may have benefit. Because only what he meant was only as long as he's alive. But if the father used a much sharper language, the father, in his expressing this nether, said, B'chayiv uva maysoi, I don't want you while I'm alive, where I'm not anymore alive, to have any pleasure for me. Then that father being so clear in his intention, then the halach is, mace have loy yershena. V'yachsir lebonav le'echav shalavir, lebonav le'achav. The other brothers, we explained this earlier, the two different pshatim get that. Vim ein loy, if he doesn't have what to eat, and this Yerusha is so critical to him, that without it he can't survive. Where he doesn't have what to eat, loiva he'll borrow money. The brothers will take the entire Yerusha, but then the halacha is that the brothers will get that share. And since the brother gets that share, then they'll get back. So he indirectly would have benefit. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef, I feel an anekush at staka. If he can't find anybody to whom to return what he lost, to give the Keren V'chaimish, he should give it to staka. I feel an anekush at staka. Amar Papa, V'tzarech Shomer, Rapapa adds a very important point. He has to say, Ze Gezel Avi, says the Yamsha Shloima. Only in this case, where the stock is being given, La'anekish at staka, the halacha, the Gemara is teaching us a chiddush, that if I return something to somebody from whom I stole, it's obvious that I have to say to that person, this is something that I'm returning to you, something that's stolen. Here we're giving it to Anikish Otstaka. What does Anikish Otstaka represent? Anikish Otstaka represents that it's as if I'm giving back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously know what I'm doing and the why I'm giving it to Tzedaka? So what's the need for the declaration, Zeh Gezel Avi? Explains the Yamsha Shloima, and very much in line with what we're learning, that this is part of the obligation of doing tshuva. the process of a heshiv as a gzeila shegozel calls out that he has to declare that the gzeil avi. The Aruch HaShul, so according to the Yavshe Shleimer's approach, the Gemara should be understood that certainly when you're giving it to a person who can't know what I'm thinking, must I declare Hareza Arniki Shot Tztaka? But he has Hareza Gezel Avi. But even when you're giving it to Tztaka, where you're, so to speak, giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's still necessary to say this declaration. However, there are those that say, there are those that suggest just the opposite. What do I mean that they hold just the opposite? Aruch HaShulchan says that when you're giving it back to the person from whom you're stealing, so that person knows, that person, when you're giving it back to the person from whom I'm stealing, knows I'm giving it back because I owe it to you. When you give it to Tztaka, it isn't that obvious. And since when you're giving it to Tztaka, it's not that obvious, that's why then, and only then, do you have to say Hareza Gezel, Hareza Gezel Avi. So points out the Rosh, and this is in line with what we learned in the Mishnah. If this is money that belongs to the Yarshim, how can we fulfill the obligation by giving it to Arniki Shel Tztaka? Therefore, says the Rosh, that this entire procedure that we are discussing in our share is only for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of tshuva. And since the entire purpose here is only to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva, I could fulfill it even by giving it to Arnika Shitztaka. And I saw the Miri explains that the purpose here is that the person should show that he really meant to do tshuva. And he cannot really be considered that he did tshuva until what he stole is removed from him. And in fact, I saw Rishonim that suggest maybe to fulfill the obligation of Tztaka, he could throw it into the sea. But giving it to Tztaka is a much better way. It shouldn't be wasted. And I saw that the Rishonim suggest that the Rambam's opinion is that you could use it to pay off your loans. Because if you're using it to pay off your loans, that too is in the same category of fulfilling a mitzvah. And Ramayshin, the Shas of Chuvas, Igris Moshe Chosh Mishpat Chelik Aleph Simon Samachay has a discussion about if somebody stole in his lifetime, he feels he stole, that the right thing, and he doesn't know from whom he stole, what he's supposed to do is calculate how much money he's stolen in his lifetime and give that amount of money to Tztaka. But he says, when somebody gives Tztaka under normal circumstances, the halacha is he could have that donation publicized. Here, the halacha is it can't be publicized because it can't be publicized because this is not Tztaka that's being given because a person wants to give Tztaka. It's Tztaka that's being given because he's obligated to the Heshev as a Gzela. And therefore, from that, you can't have any Hanoah. And therefore, giving it should be done in a very quiet manner. Amar Rabbi Yosef, and says the Gemara again, Afila Arnika Shitztaka, if you can't find the relative to give it to, give it to Tztaka. Amra, Papa Vitzarach Shemer, and as we discussed, he has to declare Zeh Gezel Avi. Ask the Gemara, but Amai, why does he have to go through this procedure? Nimchlein Nafshei, why does he just forgive himself? Miloy Tanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Gimel Amar Aleph that there is such a concept of being Meichel the Karen the Chaimish? The Mishnah discussed the various halachas under those circumstances, but we clearly see from that Mishnah that bar mechilahi, that there is a possibility to be meichel. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, like Kasha. Ha, what the Mishnah over there that says the mechila works, represents Rabbi Yosef HaGlili. Ha, our Mishnah, which seems to indicate that Mechila would not be effective, represents the opinion Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. The Torah says, Isha Yisha Kiyasa Mal, Kiyasa Mikol Chatos Adam Lima Mal Ba'ashem, V'ashma Nefesh Ahi. The Torah says that such a person has to pay a Karen V'chaymish. And then the Torah continues, V'im Ein Le'ish Goyal Hashav Ashab. If a person from whom you stole isn't here anymore, and he has no Yorshim to return it to, so the Gemara stops. How's it possible that there's a Jewish person that doesn't have any relatives? Elo, begezla gerkos medaber. We know that gershon is gair kekotn shana ladami. So it's possible that a ger, an individual, became a ger, and after he became a ger, he never had children, so he doesn't have any yarshim. Begezla ger kekos medaber. And what we're learning here is, Hare Shagazal Ger, if somebody stole from a Ger of a Nishbaloi, and he swears to him that he didn't steal, V'shamashames Ager, and now he wants to admit that he swore falsely and Karen Chaimish Oshun, and then V'shamashames Ager V'yimakal Kasvi V'Hashem L'Yushalayim, he heard that the Ger might pass away. But then he's traveling to Yerushalayim and he meets that ger. And Baruch Hashem, that ger is very much alive. V'zokfala b'malva. And the ger says, now you owe me this money. Zokhala b'mash b'yadai. So now it became the, and now when the ger dies, it becomes, since this person is the one that's actually holding on to the money, so it's his money, and therefore, he doesn't have to pay it to anyone else. Divrei Rabbi Yosef HaGlili. Rekivai me'en le'takana, en le'gzele el, she'yotzi gzele m'tach tziyadai. The only option is that he should give it to the Kohanim of that Mishmah, as we're going to discuss further. So this is the halacha of Gezel Agera Kos Medaber. So there's a very interesting question. Biologically, this ger is certainly related to the people, to his relatives. So why does the Torah disconnect them? So the Pash Pshat is, as we explained, because the Halacha teaches us the Gershon is Gayer Kekot Shnoi L'Dami. The Rambam, however, explains that people who are members of Klal Yisrael, people who practice Torah mitzvahs, are totally separate from those who don't know. And the Meshech Chochma brings a beautiful raya to that concept, to the concept that we're learning of Gershon's guy, Kotnishnoil Adami, and there's a total disconnect from what was before to what there is now. The Besh Chachma says that we know that the Torah says that after Kabbalah Satorah, everybody was told, Shvu Lachem Lo'alechem. Everybody should go back to their wives. Now, he points out that in Mitzrayim, there were no issues at that point of Klal Yisrael having any relationship of all the halacha of Erva. So it's quite possible, probable, that people in Mitzrayim married women, men and women got married in marriages that the Torah now says may not take place. There was no problem. So the question is, why could they go back to those women? Now the Torah says that you're not allowed to be married to that relative. The answer is, because since everybody at the time of Kabbalah Satorah became Gerim, and were Gershon's guy could call Shnoil Adami, so those women weren't their relatives, these people weren't relatives to each other. So we learn from here the concept of the Gershon's guy could call Shnoil Adami. Moreover, Chasam Sofer asks, that here we learn, V'chiyesh l'cha Adam Yisrael, is it possible to have a Jewish individual that has no relative? Everybody has relative. If it's not a brother, it's a cousin, whatever. So it must be a ger. Ask the Chasam Sofer, maybe as we learned in Masechta Kedushin, that a shtuki, a sufi, there are people who really don't know who are their relatives. So since we have individuals who don't really know who were their relatives, why don't we say that it's those people that the same halacha should apply because they don't know who their relatives are. So some Sofer points out that if that was the case that we're speaking about, says the Sofer, then we would not say that it should be given to the Kohanim. Rather, the halacha would be, yemunach, it should be left on the side, atchiyav Eliyahu, until Eliyahu Navi comes, and Eliyahu Navi will tell us who is this person's relative. Only by a ger does it make sense to say that he never will have relatives, as we're learning, because a gershon is gair kekotn shenoyled dummy. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef Glili, says the Gemara, so now that we learned the coin to Rabbi Yosef Glili, asked the Gemara. The leshna lenafshe, leshna lecherim, matzi machel. A person can always be michel, the money, if he owns that stolen, if he now becomes the owner of that object. Or Rekiva leshna lecherim, v'loi shna lenafshe. Doesn't make a difference if somebody else or he himself, the lacha is that you can't be michel. Rabbi Yosef Glili, who adin, the philolizak of a melva. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, the halach would be that if the ger did not make it into a milva. Now I'm holding on to it. Now the gazan's holding on to it. He can be Michael. So if that's the case, why did the Brisa speak about that circumstances? To show us how far Rabbi Kiva is machmer. The filu zakon la b'milva, that the victim, the ger, had made it already into a milva, ain't like takana, there is no appropriate approach. So now, our Mishnah is, so now the Gemara is explaining. The Mishnah over there, the Dafkuf Kimmel, that says you can be Michael, represents the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Our Mishnah that says you can't be Michael represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Maskler of Sheshis, Ehachi, if you're going to say that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Mechila is always an option. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's never an option. Rabbi Yosef Glili, Shmina Lanafshi, why don't he tell us a simple case where he's Meichlet himself? V'koshkein l'mecherim. Why did he speak about the case where others are Meichel, Daf Kuf Gimel? V'kivel ha-shmin el-achem d'loim matzim Meichel, that he can't be Meichel, others can't be Meichelim, v'koshkein l'nafshleim matzim Meichel. El-am Rav Ashi, ha-va-ha, both Mishnais represent the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. V'ki kam Rabbi Yosef Glili the matzim Meichel, when did Rabbi Yosef Glili offer Mechila as an option? L'cherim. Only by others. That means somebody else is Michael the Gazlan. Avladei, Avlanafshe, to he himself, Lematze Machel. Ella, if that's the case, Amai, if that's why, in the story with the Ger, and the Ger was Zikfan La Bemilva, does the Mishnah teaches us that at that point, and then the Ger dies, he could be Michael himself? We just said that Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Yosef Glili says, you can't be Michael yourself, says the Gemara, because that isn't what is typical. In a case when you have Zakfan or Bemilva, so then that's when Rabbi Yosef Glili would say, I can be Michael to myself. Because as I saw, the Rajba explains, what happens here is when he admitted to the Ger that he owes him that money, and the Ger, and that money comes with the halacha of the Heshivas Agzela, and that money comes with all of the halachas that we're learning, including a new halacha that Rabbi Yosef Glili just taught us, that you can't be Michael. That's only on the old Gzela. But when the Ger turned it into a milva, and after the Ger turned it into a milva, it's a new chayv. On that chayv, there is no halacha that you can't be Michaelit. Rav Amma, Rava has a different approach. Hava ha, both Mishnayis represent the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. V'chi Amma Rabbi Kiva, d'loi matzah machol, when the Rabbi Kiva say Mechila is not going to work, l'nafshei. When he, the Gazlan, is holding on to the money, Rabbi Kiva holds, you can't do Mechila. Aval l'cherim, to when it's somebody else, their halacha is that matzah machol. And the chiddush of Rabbi Kiva is that even the case of zikun la b'milva is considered like you're holding on to yourself. Mechal, the Rabbi Yosef Glili Savar, according to this, what is going to be the opinion of Yosef Glili, that Rav Yosef Glili, who disagrees with Rabbi Kiva, is going to hold the filo nafshi to the person himself, nami matza machal. Says the Gemara, al-gezel ger. The Torah Gdosha, as we're going to be learning, speaks about a case where if somebody stole something from a ger, and now the ger, as we learned, has no yorshim, that the halacha will be that he gives it to the kohanim. Exactly what that means, we'll see in a moment. El geza again, the kamer achmon and the sin of the kohanim, heichem eshkach slaw. He should just be meichel it himself. He's holding it at the moment that the ger dies. Since he's holding it at the moment the ger dies, he should just be meichel it himself. Amar av achm eskinen, because al ger, the person stole from the ger, and he swore falsely, and then Mesa Ger, and the Ger passes away. For Hoyden, at that point, he admits to what that he lied, he swore falsely. That the moment that he admits, who becomes the owner of that asset? It's not the Ger, he's not here. It's not his Yorshim, because he has no Yorshim. Who becomes the owner? Kana Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol becomes the owner. And since at that moment Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol becomes the owner, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want it to go to the Kohanim. By Ravenna, what's going to be an halacha, asked the Gemara, by Gezel HaGiyoyrus, if you stole not from a Ger, but from a Giyoyrus, Mahu? And the Gemara explains its question. Do we say Ish Amarachmana? The Torah so single out that this halacha only applies by Gezel HaGer, by man, Loi Isha, not by a woman. Adilma, the Torah speaks typically Beloshin Zachar, Dorchi the Krahu, that doesn't only mean a Zachar. Amalei of Anala Ravina, Toshma, the Tanya. The Torah says, as we read this pasuk, Vimein Lish Goyal, Lahashiv Oshem Allah, for Oshem Amushu Lashem Lakayin. Explains the Braisa, Ish, Ainli Elish. This would seem to teach us that this halach only applies by men. Isha minayin, how do we know that it applies by women as well? Kishoimer hamushov, the Torah says lahashiv. What does it say? Hamushov, harei kan shnayin, both men and women. So ask the Braisa, im keimat hamalema ish, if it applies to men and women, why did the Torah use the word ish? Ish at the tzarech lachsa achrav im yesh to galim alav. By men, you have to look and see, does he have relatives? But let's say the ger from whom the object was stolen was a cotton. So there, and he's a ger. At the tzarech lachsa achrav, we don't have to go searching, did he have children or not? Because Yedua, since he's still a child, he must have been some she'en lo galim. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Chanukah, Simen Tov Reish Tzadikei, Sif Dalet, the Rama says, a woman is chayiv in the mitzvah mishloach manas ki'ish. Ask the Pri Chadosh, when we look at the pasuk in the Megillah that teaches us the mitzvah mishloach manas, the Torah says, u'mishloach manas ish l'reveyu. So why do we say it only applies to, that it applies to women as well? So the Shvus Yaakov, the Shal Shvus Yaakov explains that just like women are mechuyev in all the Mikra Megillah, because af hein hoye bayis anes, so that applies to mishloach manas as well. And moreover, says the Shvus Yaakov, that we just learned that Torah here by Gezel Ager uses the word ish, and even though the Torah uses the word ish, it includes isha. So too, when the Megillah says mishloach manas ish l'reyu, it applies to women as well, even though Megillah used the word ish. Moreover, I saw that the Mefarshim explained that what is the purpose of mishloach manas? The purpose of mishloach manas, this big machloikis, what is the purpose of mishloach manas? Some suggest it's to increase ava v'achva, to increase friendship amongst Jews. Others suggest that to make sure that everybody will have what's needed to be eaten by the Sudas Purim. So both of these reasons apply to women as to men. The reason that this should be for Sudas Purim, so as we just finished explaining, women are also obligated in Sudas Purim. So that's why we should send them Shalach Manas, that they should have a Sudas Purim. And if the reason is to increase friendship amongst Klal Yisrael, that too applies. We want all of Jews, men and women, to have Avav Achav Shalom V'Reis. Ten Rabbanim, the Pasuk says, Ha'ashav HaMushav Hashem L'Koyin, as we learned a few moments ago, Kana Hashem, when the Ger passes away, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, becomes the owner of this asset, and the Nasla Kainish Shavas Mishma and the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that it should go to the Kohanim of that Mishnah. At the time of Kainish Shavas Mishma, continues the price of the Kohanim of that Mishnah, or any Kohanim Kainish Yirza, or maybe to any Kohen. Shomer, when the Pasuk continues saying, Mavad El Kapurim Shechapa by Olav, the Kohen that does the Avoida that week, that's why Harel Kainish Shavas Mishma, Hakos Medabu was speaking about the Kohen of that Mishma. The Kohanim were divided into Mishmeris, and each Mishmer worked for a week, and each Mishmer was divided into six Bate Av, a different base Av worked on a different day of that week. And the Chazon Ish makes a very nice observation. He says, when we speak about an Avodah, so as we just said, every day there was a different base Av that did the Avodah. So since every day there was a different base Av that did the Avodah, the Kabbonis that were brought that day were divided amongst the members of that base Av. However, says the Chazon Ish, there's no Avodah involved in Gezel Hager. It's just giving this money to the Gezel Hager. Since it's just giving money to that, to the Kohanim, so the way it's done is it's given to the Kohanim of that Mishmar, not to the Kohanim necessarily of the base Av of the Mishmar working, doing that void of that day. So says the Brisa, what happens if the Gazlan is a Kohen? So how do we know the Kohen who is the Gazlan should not say, Hoyl v'yoytze l'Kohanim, since the Allah is that it should go to the Kohanim, v'rei tachas yadi, and I already have this stolen object in my possession, usually it should remain by me. The dinhu, and a strong argument could be made to this point. In b'shalacherim huzoicha, if there's gezel ger that he has no connection to, the Torah says it belongs to him. B'shalatzmoi, here where he's holding on to that gezel ger like koshkein, that he should be able to hold on to it. Rav Nosson Eimer. The Loshen Acharim Nosson expresses this Kavachaymer somewhat differently. The carbon, the coin doesn't get a right to it until after it's brought. But when it's given to him, it becomes his. So certainly here the coin, who's the Gazlan, who has a connection to this, so mishenichnas l'rishusoi, and then day neyachalaitz miyadai, he should be the kohen that should be allowed to hold on to it. Loi, says the Braisa. No, imabat b'davishen loy chelik boy. When we speak about the regular parts of the kabbonis that are divided amongst the people of the mishmer, shem she'en loy chelik boy, kach en loy chelik boy. Toiv begezel shesham shem yesh loy chelik boy, kach yesh loy chelik boy. They all are. All Kohanim have an equal right to it. And therefore, the Allah is it should be given to the Kohanim. Ask the Gemara, even though we just explained that there was a process and a procedure of Mishmairis, but the Torah says, V'ish es kadoshev loy yeh, so that a Kohen could decide to bring the Kabbonis at any time. And any kohen that brings the carbon, that he will get the meat that belongs to the kohanim. He'll get the ore that belongs to the kohanim. So he should be able to get. If he's that kohen, he should be able to keep the gezla ger. Says Gemara, hacha b'kohen tamei. So he couldn't bring the carbon. Ask the b'kohen tamei, why do we call dov sheish lechelik boy? How can we say when the Braisa says that he has a shear in it? Miyisla legei. He doesn't have a shear because he's tamei. Elad asil kohen kohen stechuzah. The Tanya, the Torah says that if somebody took a property that he has as Yerusha Netz Yisrael, and he was Magdish it, and then the Beis Migdash, the Gizbar, the treasurer, sold it. When Yovel comes, it doesn't go back to the original owner. It goes to the Kohanim of that Mishma. The Torah says, ask the Gemara, why does the Torah use the word achuzosoy again? Achuzosoy matam aloymer. The Torah already identified that we're speaking here about a stay achuzah. To teach us, menayin l'soda yoytzel kanam b'yoyvel, v'gola echem kahanim. Before Yovel came, one of the Kohanim was the one that bought it from the Gizbar. Menayin shlo yoymer. So how do we know the Kohen has no right to say, as we just explained, the Torah says that when Yovel comes, it will go to the Kohanim. So why can't this Kohen make an argument? I'm already holding on to this property. And to Shali, it should remain by me. V'dinhu, if b'stei shalacherim, if feel that I have no connection to, and izoicha, when Yovel comes, I'm going to get a portion of, certainly b'sada, shall ask me a field that I have, as we just said, because he was the one that bought it off the Hegdish. Like Koshkein, it should remain with him. Tamaloimer. That's why the Torah says, "B'kstei achem la'koyin tia achuzosoi." What we learn from here is achuzos shaloi. What does he hold on to? Something that's his all along. Then says shaloi because he only bought it. Okay, Tzad. So from here we see Yotz Mitachs Yodai. He will have to give it up. It gets divided amongst all the Kohanim of that Mishmar. The same thing by Gezel HaGer. That the Ger, even though the Kohen was the Gazlan, and even though the Kohen is a member, will learn of that Mishmar. And now that the Gezel HaGer is being divided amongst that Mishmar. The Torah says it should be taken out and divided amongst the Kohanim of that Mishmar. He's a member. He'll get a shear. But it won't be given to all. He won't just remain totally his by him saying, I already have it.